You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning, we are no longer in Colossians. I want to come this morning from Hebrews. Nobody knows who the writer of Hebrews was, but there's some very practical information that the writer of Hebrews shares with us. And so I want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. You know, it occurred to me as I look back on our year thus far, a little over the halfway mark, and as we're in the middle of our summer break from Bible study and Sunday school, it's a good time to pause as we're kind of refreshing and regaining our bearings. It's a good time to pause and look back on the first half of the year. And as I do that, I've seen that we've looked to the leading of the Holy Spirit in this first half of the year. It's evident in how things are coming together for us this year. God has been faithful to us. Absolutely, amen. That's cause for a good hearty amen. God is faithful. He's faithful. I look out at a really good crowd of people here for a hot summer day in August, and that's something to be thankful for. I recall just this past Wednesday as Angel was leading our nativity planning group, what a great crowd of people have joined in to help out. Not because it's a fundraiser, which are important, by the way, which brings me to the bingo, which was exceedingly well attended. Things are coming together for those who follow the leading of the Spirit. Yes? And so we see that. We've taken steps in faith, and as a result, we now get to walk into the future. We walk into the promise that God has for us as His people, His church, the body of Christ in motion in the world, specifically in our part of the world here in Splendora. Faith is the key element. Faith is important if our church is to be a house of prayer. When I say that, I think, how could we ever hope to turn our church into a house of prayer without faith? You see how important that element is. How could we ever pray to a God that we don't trust? Faith in God, trust in God, gives us the foundation on which to build. So it behooves us this morning. I love that word, behoove. Everybody say behoove.
Behoove.
Behoove. It behooves us this morning to understand our faith deeply, more than superficially. Really know and understand every aspect of our faith. And that's what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 is trying to get across to the church this morning. The meaning and the triumph of the faith. He begins chapter 11 with a verse that probably will ring familiar to you as I read it. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it, the people of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the world has been created by the Word of God so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. So those first three opening verses of Hebrews 11, the writer is telling us that the fundamental fact of our existence is that this trust in God, this faith that we have in God, is the firm foundation under which everything that makes life worth living is firmly seated on a foundation of faith in God. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors from all the other people in the world in their day. It set them above the crowd, their faith in God. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, and what we see created has been created by what we don't see. The invisible God has created the visible world. Does that make sense? The writer gives us some examples of our faithful forebearers. Familiar names to us, like Abel, who offered God the better sacrifice, better than his brother Cain. And Enoch, who pleased God and was taken up without seeing death. And Noah, who listened to God's warning and obediently built an ark, which God used to save him and his family from the flood. You know these names. The writer of Hebrews gives us examples of faithful people, our ancestors. And then he focuses on one particular ancestor. He focuses our attention on Abraham, perhaps the prime example of faith. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left not knowing where he was going. You ever just pick up stakes and go obediently into a future? You have no idea where that future is going to take you, but you go out of obedience to a calling by God? Sure you have. Or you wouldn't be sitting here. Right? By faith, Abraham lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder, not man, but God. Looking for a better place to live. Not just settle down and have a family, but to live in abundance. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to pick up and travel to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country that was promised to him and his people. He lived as a stranger, camping in tents. I don't even like camping recreationally, okay? I did it for a number of years in green tents, and I'm done with it. Isaac and Jacob did the same thing, living under the same promise, willing to be sojourners in a foreign land. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real, eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. See, it was okay to live in a temporary tent if that wasn't your intended final destination. The writer of Hebrews then turns to Abraham's wife, Sarah. He says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered God faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number, and as the innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. See, by faith, Sarah, who was barren, was able to come to a place of fertility and vitality. Long after the world considered her unable to bear children, it was promised to her that she would, and she believed. And that's how it happened, that from one man's old age and one woman's infertility, God managed to fulfill the promise, the covenant he had made with Abraham, and they became the parents of us all. That's amazing. That's miraculous. That's the hand of God at work in the world. See, Hebrews reminds us that these forebearers of ours stepped out in faith. Verse 13, he writes, all these died in faith without receiving the promises themselves, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So in that poetic language, the writer of Hebrews is saying each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what they were promised, and yet they still believed. That's like planting the shade tree that you'll never benefit from, right? You plant it and someday soon it'll grow up and produce shade, but long after you're gone to be with Jesus. Faith that it will occur and will benefit those that come after us. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance. They looked into the future. They accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for their true home. And he reminds us, you know, if they were homesick for their old country where they came from, they could have gone back at any point. But they didn't. They pressed onward. They were after a far better country. They were after heaven country. You can see why God's proud of them, Hebrews reminds us. God's proud of you when you push forward in faith to the calling that God has on your life. So we have these great examples of faithful people. We have to come to the realization as we read this, as we hear this, that it's now our turn to be faithful. Right? Our ancestors were faithful. They paved the way for us. And now it's our turn. One of the things that has resulted from our faith that I've noticed in this first half of the year is that we've come to a point, finally, where we've ceased spending time and effort looking back. Have you noticed that? Maybe I shouldn't remind you. We don't look back anymore. We don't even talk about what was. Because we're so busy, we're so enthralled with what God has for us going forward, there's no need to look backward. We've learned that we don't need to look back as we walk forward. See, looking backward is how you miss your on-ramps going forward, or your off-ramps, as the case may be. Looking backward is how you miss opportunities. Looking backward is how you run into obstacles instead of navigating around them. We've learned that looking backward is no way to move forward. That's a big accomplishment. Give yourselves a hand of applause. See, I've noticed this about you. You probably woke up this morning completely oblivious to the fact that you're no longer living in the past and what was. And I'm here to remind you, you are firmly planted in the present and your hope is firmly planted in your future. Through faith, we keep our eyes focused on the narrow way that leads to eternal life with Jesus. Through trust in God, we look into that marvelous light that Scripture talks about. The marvelous light that Jesus is shining on your path forward. In faith, we do ministry together. In faith, we love one another and we love this community together. And so this morning, church, I want to encourage you to continue to step out in faith together. Let's do kingdom work together, yes? Let's love God together. Let's worship God and praise Him and sing songs to Him and bend our knees in prayer. Let's do it together and let's move forward into the calling that God has for us as the church. Step out in faith and walk forward, no turning back. I think there's a song that has something to do with that, isn't there? No turning back. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. Through faith, we too, like our ancestors, gain the approval of our God. Faith, what a wonderful tool that God has given us. Don't keep it in your toolbox. Carl, do you have a toolbox? I bet you have several toolboxes, right? And you use the tools that are in them. Occasionally. You have to take the tools out of your toolbox and put them to use. That's how you build things. That's how you fix things. That's how you make things. That's how you create things, by using the tools that God has given you, that you keep where you can find them, but you don't lock them up and throw away the key. You use them. Faith is a tool like that. Put it to use in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.